World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from Winnipeg, Canada, here's Leon Fontaine.
We've taught a lot in our church about your individual heart, and that your individual heart is determining your future. Most people, and you don't hear much teaching about the heart because most people just think it's the spirit. But as you study the Word of God, you'll discover that the key to the supernatural realm is the heart. If you need a miracle in your body, if you need a miracle in your finances, if you need a miracle in your marriage, wherever you need a miracle, miracles are what Christianity is all about. But when you allow reasoning to take over and creep into our churches and we lose the miraculous belief, the miraculous flow of Holy Spirit in our midst, we just become another religion. And religion is awful because religion has no power. Religion only has the ability to change behavior, not the heart. And so you'll struggle the rest of your life trying to change behaviors that come out of the heart, because the heart is something we need to look after. And I'm going to talk about that. There's also the heart of a nation. And our heart is our autopilot for our future as an individual. And a nation has a heart. And it is the autopilot of its future. Some people start screaming about God's judging, and that's not biblical for a new covenant, but it is very biblical that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that just like a man can bring forth from the abundance of his heart, so will a nation bring forth the leaders and the things that are going on out of the abundance of its heart. So the Church of Jesus Christ needs to wise up, and churches need to begin to declare that we need to take Jesus to the masses. We need to take the presence of God. We need to share with our neighbors who this Jesus is. The supernatural realm is the realm of the believer, because you are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And the enemy so badly wants you to give up on miracles, not understand miracles, become too smart for miracles. And if we do that, there is no attraction for the younger generations rising up other than some discipline of religion that every nation's got one. What makes Christianity absolutely unique and different is the personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the using of his name, and the miraculous, the supernatural that follows his church. When the church stops teaching the supernatural, when it stops moving in the supernatural, believing God for miracles, seeing miracles in our personal lives, in our everyday lives, there's no power. There's nothing. You'll lose the next generation. We'll have no ability to see the heart of a nation. And when you look at the Old Testament, God would change a nation as people prayed and believed. And so to everybody that's listening out there, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to stop playing church. And let's go reach beautiful, wonderful people from villages to countries to cities, from the streets and the sidewalks. Wisdom is crying out loud. We need to be the place that loves people the way they are, the ones who disagree with your political process, the ones who disagree with your healthcare stance. And right here in our own church, we have a variety of beliefs on all of these things, even in different marriages and in families. So what do we do as a church? We walk in love. We believe God. We rise up and say, we are the Church of Jesus Christ. And if we are the salt and the light of the world, and salt is what preserves and light is what reveals, what is a country going to do without revelation, revealing truths, and without the longevity of salt that adds this lastingness to a nation? Nations are ending all around the world. They just come to a close, or they become so bankrupt that no one ever wants to move to them, and everyone's moving out of them. So we need to recognize, we need to pray, we need to raise up great churches. We need to literally say, okay, our prayers and our outspoken and our confession are going to begin to declare, God, this is our nation, and this is what we speak about our nation. This is what we prophesy to our nation, and we need to be persistent. I got news for you. Persistence is way more powerful than a genius. Everybody's looking for a genius. We need a new political leader. We need a new healthcare leader. We need a new this. We need a new that. Looking for a genius. You're not going to find a genius out there to do this. And if they do, their lifespan will be 4 years or 10 years in power, whatever they're in, and they're gone and someone else. What we need is persistence. All through the Word of God, the Church of Jesus Christ is persistent. It rises up and it never stops. It keeps declaring. It keeps praying. It keeps reaching out with love and opening its arms to the neighbors and the people around them. It's the most attractive thing to people who are hurting and not knowing where to go is Jesus, who loves us all. And until we see a heart change in them, you're not going to be able to touch nations. Jesus is not a stupid man. And so when he says, my church is what I'm building, and the gates of hell can't stop it. Now, we need to be building good government. We need to be building good health care. We need to be building good business systems. We need to be building good provinces and cities. We need to be building good arts and entertainment and music. Why? Because it's all a part of the culture of a society, all found in Genesis as we find the first city being raised up. So as a church, if we think we're going to just go attack one of those areas and we're going to find a genius in here and going to change everything, you're fooling yourself. Only the Church of Jesus Christ rising up with a mission. Only the Church of Jesus Christ rising up energetic and alive that begins to share the Christ that is going to, eternity is forever. There are three classes of people that I've noticed today. The first is the group that their physical body dominates them and the voice of their body dominates them. These are people who, it's all about their passions. It's all about their appetites. It's all about their physical desires. It's all they think about. It's all they look after. Those people bankrupt real quick. Second class of people I've noticed is, instead of being led by their body, their passions and appetites and physical desires, they're mind dominated. In this class, we've got great financial leaders, educational leaders, social, political leaders, a purely intellectual approach. But it makes this person, this leader, dangerous because the development of the mind develops ego. It develops self-centeredness. It develops selfishness, which is why we can't ever seem to have a leader in any of the areas of society that doesn't eventually all become about power and themselves. Because the development of the mind, where you're led by your mind, raises up ego and selfishness, pride. And then the third type of person is the person who is spirit-dominated. This person is led by their spirit, by their conscience, by the presence of God, the purposes for their life, let alone their career. They don't even talk career. They talk life. I'm laying my life down for the things of God, for Christ. And so this is where we find the true supernatural ability. And Christians are to first of all look after their spiritual life, then renew their mental life, take it captive, their physical life, but none of that can happen without a strong, energetic, passionate faith and going into God's Word. Throughout the ages, the battle is between, in the church, the intellectual Christians and those who desire the miraculous flow and fellowship with God.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Does God allow bad things to happen in our lives? If God is all-powerful, does that mean He allows painful things to happen to us? And if so, how can we possibly understand some of the terrible things that happen around us? In this three-part series by Leon Fontaine, Fortify Your Faith, you will learn the answers to these controversial questions.
I'd love to send you this series, Fortify Your Faith.
I have noticed so many believers who lose out in this area of faith because they don't understand why bad things happen on this planet. And they get all caught up in doctrinal things that destroy their ability to believe for miracles. You need to get this, how to fortify your faith.
You'll discover that the key to understanding the truth about why bad things happen lies with understanding the difference between power and authority. Get your copy of Fortify Your Faith today.
Your responsibility, according to the things of God, is to fellowship with Jesus, and where you go, be His hands, be His feet. Walk into people's crises. Walk into people's hurt. One of our great minds in Canada, Jordan Peterson, who I enjoy him, don't know where he stands on a lot of things, but I enjoy the wisdom God's given him. He said one time, it's amazing how little it takes to encourage someone. How little it takes. How little it takes to speak an encouraging word, to reach out a helping hand. Well, he doesn't need help doing his lawn. No, but maybe walking over for half an hour and say, hey, I got a half, let me give you a hand. Maybe it's not the grass that you mowed, it's the help that touched his spirit and his aching heart and his suicidal thoughts. Well, Leon, it's not going to work one-on-one. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, Holy Spirit had them author four books about him, and the vast majority is Jesus ministering to one person over and over again. And if you keep thinking about how are we going to reach the masses, yes, I think that way, and yes, we do think that way, but I'm trying to, everywhere I go, what's the one person I can touch for Christ? Is there a Billy Graham in the ranks that I just touched? Is there a Dwight Eisenhower? Is there whatever, whoever, Churchill, like whoever you might respect or whatever, that I just touch one and encourage him to continue to pick up and to move on? The Church of Jesus Christ can be so myopic in how we look. We've got a responsibility to bring Jesus first to this world. And then with all of our different gifts and abilities, yes, we organize and train and equip, and every gifting from politics to education to church leaders to, yes, we need to help them find their place and equip them for the work of their ministry, not just in the church. Your ministry is not greeting at a door. That's just you helping at home. This is your house. This is God's house. When I go home, I help Sally and she helps me with all sorts of stuff that's not our ministry. It's just our home. Hey, babe, I'll vacuum. You grab that. And it's not a problem. Ministry is out in the world. This gifting in you is to be used for the things of God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38 and verse 39, it says this in the American Standard Version. It says, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul's got no pleasure in him. But we're not of them that shrink back into destruction, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they're going to the promised land, God's not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. So as every parent over 20 shrieked in fear and gave up on God and said, we're all going to die, let's kill Moses. People always attack a leader when they got a problem. He took their kids in and not them. And Psalm 78, 41 and 42 says that the reason those adults did not enter into the promise of God was because they doubted him. He fed them every morning with manna, rained a little quail, in the desert had water coming out of rocks to feed millions of people, took out Egypt as a major military power and never has been a world power since. The miracles that he did for them, they're at the edge of what God has called them and wants to bless them with. And the Bible said they have an evil heart. What's an evil heart? That must be like a child molester. That must be a murderer. What is an evil heart? The Bible calls it a heart that refuses to believe God. A heart that refuses to trust God. Is your anxiety and depression and freakouts and the reason you're not laughing and enjoying life and getting up and going with this aggressive faith and peace because maybe you're doubting that God's got a plan? Maybe you're doubting that God's not going to see this through to incredible victory. Have you doubted that regardless of how many steps back, something's being pushed? You're just being pushed back in the slingshot of God. And when that thing lets go, you're going to rocket forward into the cause, into the things that God requires us to do. Let's not forget, we don't shrink back. Why? Because if you shrink back, according to Hebrews 10:39, you will be destroyed. And as you shrink back, he has no pleasure in this. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is this aggressive forward moving that when people start going, what's happening? Just say, watch me or follow me, but get out of the way and let's go do something for God. It's not this, well, we sure hoping and praying. Oh, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Follow or get out of the way. The Church of Jesus Christ has never had leaders and people like that that have ever made it. It's this phenomenal faith in Jesus Christ that says we're taking a country, we're taking our city, we're taking a nation, we're going to the nations. Jesus didn't say, go into the world, preach the gospel. No, nothing's going to happen, but it's a good try. He didn't say, make disciples. There won't be very many, be a few little remnants of you, and the devil's so powerful, he's going to take out the world, and I'll come and rescue you. What in the world are you reading? Get your heart anchored in the Word of God, and the worry and the anxiety and the stress will go away. Why? Because my hope is not in a world system. My hope is in Christ. And I believe, and I can prove it to you in the Word, that we are to advance and take ground. We are to take nations. We are to take cities. In the book of Acts, they took city after city. In the book of Acts, they impacted entire countries. It's too bad that we didn't have placed into some kind of a second book of the Bible what took place in the then known world after the book of Revelation, after the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple and the new covenant beginning to rise up, and it begins to take out Rome, and it begins to take out country after country, and churches that some are still standing that were built like 1,000, 1,500 years ago in nations you haven't even been to who stood strong for God. We think Canada and America, is it? Good Lord. We've only been going for a couple hundred years. Joshua chapter 1. Now here's a story about a great leader dying, Moses. Recognize that when a great leader dies, an era ends, and you're going into another era. It's scary as hell. Because over and over in the Old Testament, when a righteous leader died and another leader took over, I'll bet you more than half the time they were unrighteous. They went worshiping idols. They went in wrong directions, and the whole country suffered. So when there's changes of leaders, people are worried, they pray. Moses is dead. So God speaks to a young man named Joshua, and he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now, arise, take his place, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I'm giving to them. So he's speaking to Joshua. And he's telling him, get up. The Bible says in multiple places, wake up the mighty man. Wake up the mighty woman. It's not talking about going and getting angry and doing stupid things. No, the Bible says wisdom cries aloud in the street, and that wisdom is better than military strength. Outthink him, outplay him, have a short game, have a long game. Get involved, get plugged in. You know, sneak in from the side, come from the front. God is amazing. He has multiple ways that he can cause us to rise up and do great things. So he says to Joshua, get up. Then he says, every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, that I have given to you as I promised Moses. Many people have taught that, you know, let's go march around that piece of property and claim it as ours. Okay, I mean, if that's important to you, good. Symbolism's not a problem with me. But that's not what it's talking about. This just means that whatever you can go, you know, fight for, you can have. Actually, what it's saying here is that Moses had already heard from God as to what, from the Euphrates River to this, he'd already been given the territory. God had already declared. In fact, in the next verse, he says here that what are you going to tread from the wilderness and this Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, which is Canaan, and to the great Mediterranean Sea on the west shall be your territory. No, they've already been given the territory. They're not told to go out and get more territory. They have been given a territory. But then he says, you want it? I've given it to you. You want it? Tread it. Now, the word tread is a military term. You go fight the fight. In our new covenant, you go fight the fight of faith. You get up and go believe God, and you take back that area. In the Old Testament, they physically went and fought, as you know. God took out armies. God always causes confusion in the ranks when someone's coming against his church or his will, which is happening everywhere. So, if there's something you're believing God for, and it's something God has already promised you, which is within the boundaries of his promise to you, you'll still need to get it with a fight. That fight will be the fight of faith. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood people, but with the principalities that are behind them. Anytime something is being stolen, killed, or destroyed, the kingdom of darkness is behind it. And everything that brings life and joy and peace, Jesus is behind it. John 10:10 is so absolutely clear on this. And so I hope you see some clear doctrinal clarity here, but I'm not shrinking back and we're not shrinking back. And we've got children and we've got grandchildren and we want freedom and we want justice and we want what God has called us to. And so let's first of all fellowship with Jesus. Why? Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world has peace, but my peace that nothing can take away. It'll anchor you so strong emotionally, your relationships will thrive. It'll transfer to your kids and your grandkids. That peace will make everyone around want you to talk to them and share where that peace comes from. This joy that is unspeakable and full of glory while they're sitting there and saying everything's okay, but you're still laughing and rejoicing. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry what? Heart. Which means you take his word, you plant it in your heart, you fellowship, and this merry heart. Merry, that actually means partying. Our teenagers aren't wrong when they love to party. I still love to party. You don't want to party the dumb devil way and wake up hugging a toilet every morning. I want to party with joy and laughter. It's so easy to be building with a trowel in one hand and the sword of the Spirit in the other, saying, let's get up and build. Let's get up and go. The enemy would like to prevail with fear through our news, through leaders who don't have a hot clue how to lead. Use fear, and then you're going to pay for it because the fear is going to cause all sorts of wrong decisions. I pray that spirit of fear that's maybe been harassing you just breaks today. Get up and live. I hope that as you hear God's word, something on the inside of you begins to grow and be strong. When you hear the word of God, it should never make you fearful. God's word and his spirit will never make you worried or anxious. If you read or hear a preacher that it causes anxiety and fear and worry, it's the wrong spirit. Even if he's quoting and reading the word, his doctrine might even be okay. But it's the spirit that is behind it. The Bible says we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind.
And as you continue to find the messages that we are teaching here and all the teachings, I want you to know, let the Word of God come in and renew your mind. And then as your mind begins to focus on the principles of God's Word, who you are, who Jesus is, who God is, who the devil is, and then what you can do, what your legal rights are, does it mean when you are in Christ, you are in Him, that's your legal rights, but then Christ is in you. Not only now it's not just the legal rights, it's the abilities that you have. And this is the beauty of when you begin to know the new covenant. You'd better understand that it is all anchored around this teaching of His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His seated at the right hand of the Father. As you hear His word, it's going to change you, and you're going to realize that not only is there a legal side to my following Christ, there's legal authority I now have, but also Christ is in me, which means there's an authority, that there's a power that flows out of me. I pray that you'll keep following and learning and growing. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, pray this powerful prayer that only you can pray for yourself right now. It goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I choose to make you my Lord, my Savior, come into my heart, my life. From today and on, I'm following you. Teach me your ways in Jesus' name. Amen. You just started the most exciting journey. Keep following the program.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media